Welcome to Life Church. We are an Acts 2:42 church, a family on a mission to bring the life of Jesus to Warrington. We hope you're ready to hear from God through His Word and His Spirit.
We're going to look at Zechariah's song tonight. And it's an amazing song that he sings about the fact that there is going to come the promised Messiah. The Messiah that's going to come and take away the sins of the world. He's come to save his people. He's coming to redeem them. He's coming to set people free. And it's a tremendous song. It's a tremendous prophecy that he gives about what is about to happen. And we just sang tonight about Jesus being our song. And I believe that each and every one of us should live with a song in our hearts. And it's not necessarily a song with a melody or with a tune, but it's something on the inside of us that just wants to sing something about Him. And I want to look not necessarily deeply into His song tonight, but I want to look at Zechariah's life. And I want to rewind a little bit of how he came to the point of singing and bringing this prophetic song. You know, back in Malachi chapter 4, he prophesies and predicts about the coming of John the Baptist. And this is what it says in verse 5 of Malachi 4. It says, "See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children, and the hearts of their children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction." And there had been a gap of around about 500 years from the end of Malachi to Zechariah coming and being a voice to the world, being a voice to the church, bring the Savior into the world. God is about to manifest His Son to mankind. And I believe that it's all of our jobs as believers that we carry a song and that we carry a message to say that there is a God that is for you. There is a God that's come to heal you. There's a God that's come to save you. There's a God that's come to rescue you and give you a great life, an abundant life. And we see between that gap of 500 years how everybody went their own way. And it's always dangerous when there is no voice in the land. And it's always dangerous when there's not a voice in people's lives, letting them know that there is a Savior for them. We've just been away and we went to the big pagoda in Burma. And it's a huge place, full of idols, full of Buddhas everywhere. Millions of pounds have been spent. Everything was overlaid in gold. But as I was reading one of the scripts on it, it was saying that this place was built around about 500 or 600 years BC. And I thought that was very interesting because that was about the time of the last voice there was in the land. And then during that spell, that's where Buddhism came in and all these idols were built. And there was people that were praying and banging bells and incense and washing idols. There was all sorts going on. And it's important that we become a voice in the lives of our family, that we become a voice in the lives of our friends and our workmates and the people that we meet. We're here to sing a song and to declare something about God. He's always had His messengers. You today are His messengers. In silent years, people turn about and do their own thing. When the voice of God comes, the heart of God comes into somebody's life, God can do something with that. And we are a people that have a story to tell. We're a people that have a song to sing. I had to Google this because I wasn't around at the time, but ABBA said a song. Stop laughing, Nick. The words of one of the songs of ABBA says this: "So I say thank you for the music, the songs I'm singing. Thank you for all the joy they are bringing. Who can live without it? I ask in all honesty. What would life be without a song or without a dance? What are we? So I say thank you for the music, for giving it to me. And that line in there that says, who can live without it? What would life be? And I want to say to us tonight and encourage us tonight that without living with a song, without having something on the inside of us that just wants to worship God and just wants to thank God and just wants to spread his name, who are we? Living as a Christian without a song is death. And I want to encourage us tonight that God has a song for every one of us. In fact, in Revelation, it says, worship God, for the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. So basically what John is saying is that even declaring Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It's something that's on the inside. It's just not songs that we sing. It's not just repeating words that are on a screen. But it's a song that comes from the inside. It's an expression of the thankfulness that God has rescued me and that God has got his hand upon my life and God has got good things for me and he's got good things for you. And that it's prophetic. It's something from the inside that we're being encouraged. And as we look through the Bible, there's been people that have had this song. For one, there is Moses and Miriam when they got rescued from the hands of the Egyptians, the sea, and then the sea closed in and it destroyed all the chariots of Pharaoh and all the armies. And they got to the other side and just saw that there was floating bodies and floating wheels of the chariots and dead horses. And they began to sing and they began to rejoice. And this is their song. It says, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. And when you read about it, it talks about Miriam and her tambourine. And they began to dance and sing and spin round and thank God for the good thing that he has done. Yeah. They had a song to sing. They had something to celebrate because they saw the goodness of God. Psalm 23 verse 7, David says, you are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble. And you surround me with songs of deliverance. And even when there was trouble, even when there was difficulties, and we know about David, we know about the struggles that he had and the difficulties that he has, but he declares that God will surround him with songs of deliverance. And it's important that we live with a song, folks, so that when we do go through tough times, hard times, difficult times, times that we just don't understand or even see where God is, that there is something on the inside that just know that God has this, right, that God's got me, yeah, that God's got a tight hold of my hand. We read about Paul and Silas when they were in prison. It says that they'd been severely flogged. Nick said this a couple of weeks ago. They've been severely flogged and that they'd put extra guards on them, and around about midnight in the prison, they began to what? They began to sing and rejoice and sing hymns to God. Why? Not because they had to, not because somebody set up an overhead and a projector and a screen. They began to sing because there was something on the inside of them. And as he began to sing, what happened? Things started to break open. Things started to happen. Salvation came to the prison and freedom came for them. Why? Because he started to sing the song that was on the inside of them. Where we've just been away in Nepal, there's a guy, Rishi, who looks after the children's home just in Nepal there. He was accused by a very wealthy couple of being involved in a malicious army. There was a lot of problems going on at the time. And this rich couple wanted so they could use it as a boarding orphans. And it's for those that are in need, not for your children. This couple reported him to the army, to the police. Wow. He got arrested by the army. He got muzzled. He got a cover over his head. He was taken in a helicopter to where no one knew where he went. They put him into a prison. They put electric contacts on his ears. They electrocuted him. They beat his feet with bamboo, trying to get information out of him. And he wouldn't say a word. And when they eventually stopped torturing him, all he could do was buy them all a meal. He said, I want to bless you. I want to look after you. Because these guys never had much themselves. They were just his torturers. And at the end of this, you can still see where he's got burnt on his ears. And he just wanted to buy them a meal. I want to say that statement never came from the fact that the Bible says that I've got to be kind and generous to those that despitefully hurt me and use me. No, it came from something deeper inside, that he knew that God had a hold of his life and he wanted to share the love of God with them, even though that his feet were in bits, even though that he was burnt on his ears. He wanted to let them know that there was a God in his life that wanted to be in their life. And the couple that we went with, they had to actually rescue him. They brought him back to England for 3 months until everything had died down. There was something in his heart. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, it says this: do not get drunk on wine and live like the world do. Instead, he says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Singing songs from the Spirit and making music in our hearts. It's not about being a nightingale. It's not about being a great singer. It's about a song that's on the inside. Yeah. It's about a melody that's on the inside of you that sings and rejoices and looks towards our God. And I want to encourage us tonight. Are we living with a song? Are you living with a song in your heart? In Luke chapter 1, let's just rewind a little bit. If we could just put that up on the screen. I just want to read through the first part of how Zechariah came to the point of singing this wonderful song. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive. They were both very old. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty, he was serving as the priest before God. He was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go to the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time of burning incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or fermented drink even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." Let me just stop there. This is where Zechariah got stuck. Here came the angel, telling him everything that was about to happen, telling him that you're going to have a son, telling him that it's going to be a mighty man of God. He's going to come in the spirit of Elijah, and he's going to start turning the people back to the Lord their God. And Zechariah turned around and said, how can I be sure of this? We are well on in years. And I want to ask us tonight, what is the loudest voice in our world? The angel came and spoke truth, spoke prophecy, spoke the future into being. And yet all he could turn around and look at himself and look at his wife and saying, we are getting on. In fact, he said, I'm old, my wife's getting on. Yeah. So he'd learnt his place, I think. I want to ask, what is the loudest voice that speaks in our world? Is it the here and now? Is it what I see? Is it what I touch? Is it what I feel? Is it all I can see? Or is it the fact that God has declared something over my life? He's declared that he's got plans for me. He's declared that he's got a future for me. He's declared that he's going to prosper me and look after me. And he's going to take a hold of my hand and never let me go. He says that he will make my way straight. He says he'll make my path clear. He says that he has come to destroy the work of the enemy and lead me into life. That is the voice of God to us. And yet we find, he said, how can this happen? Because my circumstances are saying something completely different. And it says, the angel said to him in verse 19, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. We see here, right? In fact, it says that he was blameless. They observed all the decrees, all the laws, all the commandments. They were serving in the church. They were doing everything right. He was part of the line of Aaron. So was his wife. So they were doing everything that they should be doing. But the guy was not living in faith. And it's a very strong and very clear message tonight from Zechariah's life, is that it's not only important to be doing the right things, but it's important that we are living in faith. And we find that because he wasn't living in faith, that his voice was taken from him. He became silent. And a silence will always fall on our lives when we're not living in faith. And I encourage us tonight that if we live in faith and we live with a song, we'll see the hand of God. He was doing all the right things, but there wasn't a belief and a faith in his heart in what the angel had declared over his life. There are two components, Paul says in his writings. He says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that you believe in your heart that he has been raised from the dead, you'll have salvation. And there has always got to be those two ingredients. There has to be confession, but there has to be belief in our heart. And tonight, it's important that there is a believing heart in every one of us. Yeah. And Zechariah's unbelief brought a silence. Yeah, and I don't know what your silence is tonight. Maybe there's been disappointments in your life. Maybe you're disillusioned with life. Maybe you're disillusioned with church. Maybe you're disillusioned with people. Maybe you're living with failed expectations, and life, church, people, husband, wife, children have not lived up to your expectation. Maybe you're living with resentments. Resentment about who you are. Resentment about what you have. Maybe you're living with resentment about other people. I want to say tonight that these things kill the song. Yes.
These things bring silence in our life. And all we become is like Zechariah, just going through the routine of church, going through the routine of doing churchy things, sat here on a chair every Sunday night. But actually, there's no song on the inside. There's nothing that's reaching out to God and believing God. And God's message to us tonight is that he wants us to live with this song in our hearts. And God's plan was for Zechariah to live with this song. And as we read through the story after this, it talks about when Zechariah was with his wife, and that the son had been born, John had been born, they took him to be circumcised, and the crowd asked his wife, Elizabeth, what should his name be? Well, I think it should be John. And remember, Zechariah is still silent. He's still dumb. He still can't speak. And they all turn around and say, what does your husband think? And the moment he spoke, he shall be called John. His tongue was loosed. As soon as he spoke faith, as soon as he spoke what the angel had declared to him, that his voice came back. And as soon as his voice came back, we read that his father Zechariah was filled with the Spirit and he began to prophesy. I want to encourage us tonight that when we start walking in faith and when we start declaring the truth, not what we see, not what we feel, not what we're experiencing at this time, and it may not be very good. You may be in grief. You may be going through one of the hardest times that you've ever had in your life. There is never more an important time for living in faith and living knowing that God has it all under control. And I haven't time tonight to tell you some of the stories in my own world to let you know that it's true, that some of the most difficult times, most darkest times that I've ever had, living with a song has pulled me through.
Right.
Living with a song has helped me to see God above what I physically see. Yeah. Knowing that God has an outcome. I don't know what it is. I cannot see it. I don't understand it. But I know God has an outcome. And if I live with a song through that situation, through that disappointment, through that resentment, through that disillusionment, it will bring me into the fullness of what God has for me and for you. And the moment that Zechariah declared that he shall be called John, his tongue was loosed. And it says, and we've got the scripture there, in Luke, verse 67 there. It says, his father was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. Something happens when you move in faith. Something happens. A song fills your heart. Hope fills your heart. Yeah. Believing against hope fills your heart. A peace which passes all your natural understanding fills your heart and fills your life to a point that you say, I don't understand this, but I just know that God's got this. I know that God has got a future for me despite what I am experiencing at this time. And his father was filled with the Holy Spirit and he began to sing. He began to prophesy. And he says, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them in the house of David, his servant. As he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. He's now beginning to prophesy. He's now beginning to speak over his son. His son that can't understand. His son that can't comprehend what he's saying, but he's speaking something into the heart and the spirit of his son. He begins to release this song. And he says, "For you will go on before the Lord and prepare the way for him to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness, and in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the path of peace." And everyone was amazed. You read the story, they were amazed. And people were saying, "This is fantastic. This man," and everybody knew that he was struck dumb. Everyone knew what had gone on. Even the other servants around the temple realized that something was going on, because he'd been a long time in the temple and came out and wasn't able to speak. And yet, the moment that he began to prophesy, everyone was amazed. And the fame of what John was about to do spread around the area. Why? Because there was a man that had a message. There was a man that had a song. There was a man that was bringing hope to mankind. And in closing tonight, I want to ask us, have we a song? Are you living with a song? Or is it just silent? Is there nothing going on the inside of you? Have you ever had a song? Have you ever been in relationship with God? You need to live with a song. It is vital.
Yeah,
and like Zechariah, his moment came. An angel called him and called for faith. An opportunity came. I want to say tonight, just in closing, I just ask Sarah, do you mind just banging on the keys for a few moments? We're just going to finish just with a word of prayer. And there was an opportunity for Zechariah to speak what was spoken to him. And the moment he declared that John shall be his name, there was a real release of God's Spirit in his life. And he was filled. And the moment he spoke it, the song was released.
Yeah, that's
great. I want to say tonight, it's as simple and as dynamic as that.
Yeah, that's very good.
The moment we take our eyes off the deadness of what we see, the moment we take our eyes off the impossibilities that we're facing, and we say, "God, you are my answer. You are my strong tower. You're my shield. You're my defense. You're my deliverer. You said that you're my friend and that you'll stick closer than a brother. You said that you've got plans and purpose." Because of what you see and are experiencing at this moment, it's just taken away and taken your eyes off God. I just want us all just to stand right now. And just as we finish and we just wrap up, in 15 minutes, we're going to be out of here. But God doesn't want us to be out of here without a song. And as Zechariah had a moment, this could be your moment tonight. That you may need to re-engage and refix. Maybe you just need to say, "Sorry, God. I've just allowed the cares of this life, the worries of this life, the disappointments of this life, just to overshadow who you are and what you are." And if that's you tonight, I'm not going to ask you to come out for prayer. All I want you to do is just to raise your two hands in the air. No one's looking around tonight. This is between you and him. And just as Sarah plays, just reach out to God. Just put your hands out or up, whatever you want to do. But just some sign of saying to God, I'm surrendering. And that I want you to be my song. And I don't want to leave here tonight without just feeling that sense of a song and feeling that you're alive again in my life. And just knowing that song that's becoming alive again. Lord, I pray right now for every heart that is open. Lord, every hand, Lord, that is stretched out to you. Lord, that you would just touch them and fill them with your Spirit. Lord, I pray that this would be their moment. And Lord, that you would just awaken the song. Lord, let them feel the chords of their heart being strummed again by your Spirit. And Lord, let them just know and feel your song just come alive again. Just minister, just in these 2 minutes, Lord. In Jesus' name.
We've come to the end of this week's message. We hope you've been impacted and inspired. Keep up to date with everything that's happening by checking out our website, livechurchwarrington.com.